June 19th, 2007, it's the Watt from Pedro Show. Watt from Pedro show. I'm doing this one here from London, England. It's June 19th, 2007. And we started there with Mr. PC by John Coltrane. Written, of course, for Mr. Paul Chambers, incredible bass player. And then we heard Aún by Los Huracanes. And, well, we're doing the show here from Mr. Jose's pad here at Islington Park in London?
Yes, Islington.
Yeah. Here you go. Don't be afraid. And you picked that song there. Tell us something about that.
Yeah, this song is from a band from Valencia City, which is on Spain, on the coast, Mediterranean coast. And this song was recorded in 1965. And those were the days when Franco was still running Spain, which was under dictatorship. So having a band under that kind of fascist regime wasn't particularly easy, I suppose, because I wasn't even born. But I guess it probably was tough even to get the equipment, and also there was censorship on you know, the Stones, the Rolling Stones, the Beatles, all those music was kind of censored. So the influence these guys have is pretty remarkable. This song is from the first EP, from the very first day release, and hope you like it. It's sort of like not garage, but you know, a bit garage. And
what's the name mean?
It means yet, still, aún.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, the lyrics are like he's trying to get to a party and then he can never make it, and he keeps on running and trying to see if there's any girls left in the party.
Okay.
But he never arrives to the party, I think.
Yeah. How'd you come across it?
Friends, this music is
from them days.
In Valencia especially, there are many DJs. Well, not many, but there are a few DJs that play this music all the time, and it's Spanish music from the 60s, from between 64, 65 up to 67, 68.
Are any of those musicians still around?
They are, yeah. Los Huracanes, actually, I'm not sure if they did a reunion, but they're still alive, yeah. And so it must be weird if they walk into a club and then they hear the song that they're in 65, and it's all young, early 20s people dancing to their own music.
Well, I think young people are open-minded to all kinds. Wasn't that way when I was younger? They would never listen to older stuff. So I think that's pretty righteous. You're going to play something else, right? You got another tune here?
Yes. The next one is by a girl from Barcelona. And Los Huracanes sort of made history, and they are in the history books of rock, in Spanish one. But this girl, it's called Sonia. She just made a few EPs, and then sort of like her memory was washed away, so not many people knows about this track. And the way we came across it was because somebody from France did a compilation. I think it's called Ultra Chicks Volume whatever, number one or something, and it's all French 60s solo singers or sometimes band, and there's one Spanish song which is by this girl. And it's a cover of the Rolling Stones, Get Off My Cloud. But those days in Spain, what they were doing is they did covers, but they changed the lyrics, because if they translate the lyrics, it would be too outrageous, and then Franco's police, you know, might even arrest them. So what they did is sort of like mellow the lyrics or totally change it, and then that way they could be released under Franco's censorship. So this one, I think the lyrics probably doesn't relate to the original, but it sounds pretty cool.
Okay, here you go.
Le dije, tú
From Pedro Show, that was Izda by Kobayashi from Slovenia, and we had the Meat Puppets from Arizona, USA, doing Stooges 1970. And by the way, that's why I'm here, is to do some Stooges gigs. I'm playing this Meltdown Festival. Do you know about this? Do you know about it?
Yeah.
It's sort of like all Tamar's Party, with one person curates and picks all the bands. And I guess we were picked by this singer from...
Jarvis Cocker.
Yeah.
Jarvis Cocker.
Jarvis Cocker from Pulp.
Yeah.
Is a, you know, British band. It's pretty famous around here.
Yeah, I don't know, but I thank you very much for having support. No, no disrespect. I don't know shit.
You know.
Just, but you know,
yeah.
I'm glad you can.
I mean, you know, the guy has good taste because he chose the Stooges,
yeah.
Right?
How's so. The band? What's the band like?
It's sort of British pop.
Maybe I played it. I don't know.
Is that? I mean, he has some tracks that are alright, but you know, some others. Personal
like.
Taste. I mean, I like not much. It's not my sort of thing. But you know, it's
well, that's where we're playing tomorrow at the.
The Royal Festival Hall?
Yeah, across the river on
yeah.
The south side. By the Ferris wheel, I was told.
Yeah, the London Eye, yeah.
Yeah.
You should play on the London Eye, you know, in one of the capsules.
In one of the capsules?
Yeah. Each member, like, in one capsule, and then you're in the other one, and the Scotty, and then...
Okay. And just twirl around?
Yeah, yeah. Keeps it spinning.
And then the next day we do the talk show with this guy,
Jonathan Ross.
Jonathan Ross. And he's like a talk show.
It's like sort of like television. You have Letterman, right?
Oh, Dave Letterman. Okay.
Yes, is that the Dave Letterman?
So
Dave
is it
Letterman.
On late?
It's usually. Look,
that's how the sirens sound over here, people.
They're on the way.
It's a trip for me.
Yeah. They're on the way to arrest Jarvis Cocker.
Ours don't sound like that. It's probably an ambulance.
Yeah, this show is on Friday night in the national TV.
Because that Letterman and stuff, that's too late. I don't watch it, so. And it's boring anyway. It's people usually trying to pimp their books and shit. Movies.
It's fine. It's okay. The guy invites some people.
Iggy told me he liked him. He said he was smart.
He's very smart. Very smart. Very, very sharp guy.
And then we play Saturday in Glastonbury, which is in the southwest of England.
Yeah.
And it's a big festival. And the Go Team gets to play too.
Yeah.
And we have a Go Team person, player, here. The gig is Saturday, and then I go to Poland. So I think I come back though to England in a month or something. But for now, that's why I'm in town. And it was real sunny, and then it rained, and now it stopped raining. But
you think you will play in any chance that Stooges might play in China? I mean, like recently, Sonic Youth.
I would like to.
Sonic Youth played in China.
Sisters in the Pit played in China.
And Go Team, they're going to China.
Oh, really?
Yeah, end of June.
Oh, righteous. I want to play there.
Can you imagine Iggy Pop on China? I mean, in Beijing, it will be like.
Oh, yeah.
Could cause a mayhem.
Light that up pretty big time. Yeah. He called me the other day. I was driving up to Perks. He's going to record with Perkins and. Said, yeah, my guy's. You know, the phone was there, so I just dialed it. How you doing? I said, I'm okay. I'm happy to talk to you. And he says, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to go record. And he said, whatever. And I said, no, we're going to try that idea. Because he asked me to do this thing where I just play bass with my favorite things that... I mean, it was a lame-ass song from Sound of Music or something. And then Coltrane turned it around. So he wanted me to, like, play the melody and then overdub bass and then have Perkins play drums on it. So I told him, yeah, we're going to try that out. He said, yeah. Because sometimes maybe he thinks he just talks and I don't listen. But I listen. And I think it was a good idea. You know, it's scary. But Perk's always up for anything like that. And... But the Meat Puppets, yeah, I got to see them play. Chris is out of jail and healthy, and he's playing with his brother again. And that was them doing a 1970 Stooges song. It's a session from their first album. Now, I saw them, 81 maybe, at the LA Press Club, and I told Greg Ginn about seeing this great band. I remember, what I really remember about the gig was them doing this great cover, 96 Tears. So Greg went and saw him, and he had him open for Black Flag and put out the album, Meat Puppet, first album. And they don't got Bostrom with them anymore. He don't want to play anymore. But they got a cat named Ted, and he does pretty good Bostrom. I think he lives in New York City. Before that, we had Frank Black with Your Mouth Into Mine. Yeah, we usually write that as one word.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
Jose here is from Spain, so but he does very good English.
No,
he's scary too.
Hello.
And better than both. They both do better than my English, and I have no excuse. And then we started off with the song that Jose picked called Aquí en Mi Nueva by Sonia. Yeah, tell us about that.
Yeah, it's this girl. I'm from Barcelona. That play this cover of the Rolling Stones. And
oh yeah, you talked about it.
Yeah,
it was from some French comp.
I actually want to thanks my friend Roman and Ramon, which they're from Valencia, and they dig into this music a lot. So they introduced me to to Los Huracanes and to Sonia and to some other bands which not many people knows about them from Spain, of course. Outside Spain, I doubt that anybody will know about them. So it's pretty good that young people is digging out the 60s from Spain, which is our root in from, you know, rock and roll.
Yeah.
So,
but you know, the guitar, which is big part of rock and roll, comes from Spain.
The Spanish guitar, you mean?
The guitar period. I mean, there was an Italian thing, chitarra. Kind of came from the harp and the lute.
Right.
But closer, I think, to rock and roll guitar is what came out of Spain.
It's a shame that we lost the Civil War. Because if we have won, things would have been very different. It would have been democracy since the 30s. And then probably the music would have had much more freedom to happen. And we would have more bands. But there you go. Still people managed to get together and make some tracks.
And you know, Sonic Youth was in Spain and played with a big flamenco player there.
Enrique Morientes.
Yeah. Because I had Steve Shelley on the show when I was in Austin. And he was telling me about them. This guy searched him out. He knew all about Sonics. And wanted to do a gig with him. And I think they're going to record. And in fact, Steve's got some project with him. And he wants me involved somehow. So...
Yeah, I think you should.
Tibun knew how to play flamenco. There was a hippie guy who lived in his car named Roy Mendez Lopez, and he showed us a lot of things. And he knew, he was steeped heavy in flamenco tradition. He built his own guitars. And Tibun even had a flamenco guitar with the pegs. And, you know, I did a gig in Huesca?
Huesca,
Aragon?
Yeah, Aragon.
Okay. That was a great gig. I got to play on the same bill as pop group singer.
With you?
I got to meet this guy, Mark Stewart. It was incredible. He's an Englishman, very tall. And because we only knew him by the records, you know, in the old days. And I got to meet him. And he's a trip, man. He cuts like about 10,000 jokes a minute and laughs at them all. He's got this laugh like, ho, 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 ho. It's like, I did not expect it because the pop group voice, you know, and then this, it was a trip. And he's really big. And he's a really sweet man, a very nice man. And he was playing with he has a band now called Mafia, an incredible bass player from Connecticut called Doug Wimish. I don't know if you know him, but I got to see him in Hungary. He was playing with Living Color.
When did you play in Huesca?
It was about a year ago, year and a half ago.
Was it in a festival or was
Yeah.
And you playing?
In fact, there was two stages, and on the other stage was the pop group drummer, Bruce Smith, the only U.S. guy in that band. And Mark and Bruce hadn't spoken in 25 years. So I was watching this, and then they talk, you know, and stuff like that. And I go, and I walk back with Mark, and I go, wow, man, 25 years. And he goes, yeah, I hope it's another 25. Or something like, ha, ha, ha. There was an England puppet show called The Thunderbirds. You aware of this?
Nah.
Yeah, like rockets and stuff. Well, he had eyebrow. I think he dyes his eyebrow. Or maybe not. But they're big, man, and they reminded me of that. His eyebrows. He's an amazing cat. That was a treat. Some of these people I get to meet after knowing them only on records. Wow. Because they had big and profound impact. Pop group had big bass. And they put Beefheart music with Parliament Funkadelic, which taught us... I know this sounds naive now, but it taught us that you can do whatever you want with music. You don't have to stay in... Because in the 70s thinking you had to be in certain genre or something. They didn't call it genre in those days, style. Because genre was more recent for marketing. I guess it was for marketing then too. But it was shaping our mentalities. Like, how could you put Beefheart with P-Funk? Well, because you want them.
Yeah.
And that's what the pop group showed us. Now, pop group, I discovered there was an import record store. Huh? They would bring in like the hippie... Spacey albums that the big chains wouldn't carry, like Noy and Faust. And so when punk came, they had the first ins on bringing records from England. So, because we didn't know of any of these bands, so we would pick them just by the album. Well, a lot of them were singles, and they're only $2, and so you didn't, wasn't a big gamble, and we would just pick them by the album cover or the name of the band. You know, we didn't know anything about these guys.
Surprise record.
Yeah, and the pop group, I was like, yeah, that's something like someone in England would say, you know, that, oh, this is the pop group. And then we put it on. I remember putting it on, like you were telling me earlier about your days with Elle and stuff. Well, we would wait for weekend, you know, work all week. And then weekend would come and eat Elle and then not listen to the records till we ate the Elle. And it would be like a total trip, you know, like, wow, look at this. Because you didn't know what to expect, you know. These bands didn't play. The punk bands we saw were U.S. ones, the ones in Hollywood or some New York ones would tour through. But we didn't know hardly. And the only England ones that came were like more rock and roll kind. Well, maybe not at first, but by the time they were coming around, they were more like Jam and Clash. And mm-hmm. It was more regular rock and roll, mm-hmm. Stranglers. Not as, not like the stuff that excited us, the records, you know. I guess they wanted to be more popular, a bigger fan, maybe not be as rough. But we liked the rough because we were from stadium music rock, and we didn't want that anymore. We're tired of it. So this punk was to us real personal. And so these records, you know, it was crazy. In a way, we had our own Franco regime in our own heads, and we had no excuse of government. It was just us being stupid. Baca. Tonto.
Yeah,
tonto. Yeah, we had no idea. We just didn't know. There would have been a whole 60s. I've talked about this on the show before, but there was a whole 60s garage band movement. And by 70s, we didn't know it. You know, we didn't know it at all. These bands were making their own little records. I found out about it later because the people you had met in the punk scene, a lot of them were huge record collectors. And they knew all about this stuff. It was very interesting.
I heard that the Sonics were making their own pedals. Is that right? That they made like their own fuzz, which still at the time was not made. The fuzz pedal, the distortion.
Yeah, we didn't even know about fuzz pedals. We didn't know how they got those sounds on records.
I read somewhere, I'm not sure if I'm right, but I might be wrong.
Maybe they did, because there wasn't a big music industry yet. I mean, there was Fender and Gibson, but not like it is now with all the little pedals and amplifiers and many different kinds of guitars. What, you a Yamaha? They had no Yamaha. Maybe they did over there, but we didn't know them. You know, just all these kinds of things. A big explosion, you know. And everything much cheaper, more people can make music easier. It's just better days nowadays. When I hear people talk about the good old days, I have to laugh. You know, although there's always been good music, and that's great about discovering this older stuff. Some of it sometimes sounds so contemporary, it doesn't sound old.
Yeah, well, the Sonics.
It shows you that people were way ahead. Yeah, right.
The first record of the Sonics, which was recorded in 2 tracks, and still sounds so amazing. I mean, how those guys managed to, in just 2 tracks, made that legendary album.
Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable. I mean, that's...
Well, even before that, Nat King Cole, you know, when there's a solo, the guy has to move closer to the mic with the trumpet, you know.
But like, it still went ahead.
They couldn't even mix
anyway,
this stuff, you know. It's incredible. Well, you know, whatever the means are, the burden should really, I think, be on creativity and not really technology. Whatever's there, you make the most of it. That's what punk and me learning through music has come. If you put too much weight on the other stuff, you will cheat the creative side, I think. Although there's amazing things being done with technology and stuff. I meet people. And there's people making fuzz. I met these people who play bass and drum for Cornelius. And the guy is going to make me a fuzz thing. Because I said, wow, that's a great fuzz. They sent me their music. And the bass had this great fuzz sound. He says, I made the box.
Wow.
Yeah. And he's going to make me cables for the amp to the speakers of his own design with beeswax. And crazy, when I next month go to Tokyo, he's going to show me all this stuff. Amazing. I am like a child, huh? His name's Shimmy, Mr. Shimmy.
I saw Cornelius the other day. They played in London in Coco, and they had this video show. They had massive screen behind them, and the video was synchronized to what the guy was doing. So the singer was singing, and then you could see the lyrics on the back, all mixed with all latest technology, video art. So it was like a video installation show.
Did you see the bass? That's him.
Excellent.
He's really a guitar player, but he plays bass for this band. Yeah, I like that band too. They invited me to see. I didn't know anything about them, you know. Like a lot of musics, I knew nothing. You know, I got this music, and then I found out they played with this other guy, and I met him, the Cornelius man. He's very nice. He knew all about my stuff, of course. I was very embarrassed. You know, you want to be reciprocal. If they know you, you would like to know about them. And I was ignorant. I think sometimes I get too in my little world. So that's what's great about me getting music from different people, and that's what I mainly play on the show here. I try to. I remember the first couple of years, I played my old records, but I stopped kind of buying records in 82, 81, so I ran out of records. The good thing about playing the old records was I had stories to go with them all. But man, they were all beat up, and they sounded pretty bad, but I had spiels to go with it, so that was kind of good. Because music is like that for me, identifies personal. I do try to look at it as music, too. But I'm not such a musician. I'm still learning how to be. I'm trying to appreciate stuff. And, this idea where you're making your own thing, it kind of reminds me of Roy Mendez Lopez, the guy who lived in his car and made his own guitars. I mean, he made these things, the sound was so big out of him because he made the things paper thin. They would sometimes just explode from the tuning.
Wow.
Yeah, because to him, everything should be sacrificed for the sound. So they looked very raw and everything, but they sounded incredible. He would put drone strings. So his guitars had like 10 strings. Amazing stuff.
Amazing.
Taught himself Vivaldi and Bach, and he'd get the sheet music. And yeah, he had a big influence on me and D. Boone. Mm. You know? And he had true hippie ethics. Not the commercial fad stuff, but the things where you... I think this, maybe some of punk got this to learn from them, where you really get involved yourself and you make it your own and personal and try to be natural and not superficial. And
yeah.
So I think this put on us somehow. Although we were boys and a lot of it we couldn't understand. A lot of this I understand now more thinking about it later. I remember, just teach us Born on the Bayou, you know. Teach us how to copy records. I remember that was the big deal, if you can believe it. That was the big deal. Not teach us how to write a song. Teach us how to find our own sound. But teach us how to copy a record, you know, which is so fucking stupid, you know. And when I look back on it, I mean, maybe we learned some things because those musicians had some skills. You were asking me about skills. So maybe we Skyped some of those skills and we're copying them. To me, it reminds me of like building models, model race car, you know. Oh, look, it looks like the real thing. But it doesn't go. It's plastic, you know. It's stupid. So then we're going to play some more music now.
Yeah! Hello, Gatemar! कर लेवे जगत जवानी ले सोनिया दिल विच तेरी अशोक आवे अजी बुढ़िया कर ले तू मुड़ मुड़ दिल नहीं आनी वे सोच समझ के ले सोनिया Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show, that was Running Snail by DJ Olive, and we had Top Knot by Corner Shop before that. That's a band I played with 10 years ago when I was helping Portal for Pyros. Tejinder, I'm glad to see he's still going. He just got a hold of me in contact. And then we started off with something you picked, Jose.
Yeah, it's a song called El Humo Te Hace Mal by Los Peyotes, which is a band from Argentina. They make garage revival, but this song is quite nice. And this band is still is active and is touring, so maybe you might see them if they come to your town.
How old are those guys? It must be older gentlemen then, right?
Sorry?
It must be older? Viejo?
Viejo, yeah. This band, Los Peyotes, is coming to play in a festival in Valencia. It's called Fantastic, but we write it fun, so we
made it. What is the one the Stooges doing?
Ah, yeah, you're coming to play to Benicassim Festival. It's a big festival. It's one of the biggest in
Spain. We'll talk about it more. We're at the end of the first hour, June 19, 2007. Hold tight for hour two. June 19, 2007. Sometimes I fuck up and say the wrong year even. Okay. Give me a break. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show, and we're having a discussion about rock and roll here. Jose, you want to talk about Boogie Woogie?
Yeah, I wanted to say that there's this movie about the Marx Brothers. I think the one is in a hotel. And they did a lot of musical pieces within the movie. And in one of them, you hear like almost like rock and roll. And I was thinking, hold on, that's 1941. And then it's Boogie Woogie.
Yeah.
But it looks like so advanced, even though, you know, ahead of this time.
Yeah. Well, there's an old saying that says, the only thing new is you finding out about it. A lot of stuff gets rediscovered that's been happening. You know, Big Mama Thornton with the Hound Dog, and much before Elvis, but people know the Elvis one. So sometimes it's the way it's delivered, if it's marketed.
Yeah, well,
you got to remember, Pat Boone sold more Tutti Frutti's than Little Richard.
Yeah,
what's that about? It's a worse version. I played a club in Amarillo. It wasn't even a club. It was an indoor swimming pool, Nautica, where Little Richard was arrested for taking his shirt off at a gig. The good old days, huh? In the U.S. Can you believe that? So.
I heard that Jerry Lee Lewis.
Sometimes I think U.S. people appreciate music from their land more when foreign people teach them about it back. Or maybe for the first time because it just got buried. So, much respect to the world. You know, for music is universal. I think it crosses all things, times, borders, barriers. All that stuff.
The blues and country is something very native from.
Yeah, blues. Yeah, if you go to Africa and listen to black music, it's different than blues because of what happened was music mixed together. You know, Europe music came with Latin music,
You know, I want to learn, and from K.R. gave me a Okinawa. I mean, I listen to it constantly, but it's slow because I don't have any tradition in it and don't have any base. But this idea of me taking something from not my land, my culture, maybe I can bring a new. So, thank you. Arigato. You know, and so this is what happened with blues music. Now, the circumstances were pretty intense, slavery and stuff like that.
Right.
The music was there's a great Nick Tosh's book called The Twisted Roots of Country Music, and he talks about how mingled those are, the experiences of different peoples. So this is what we get.
Iggy started with blues, right? He got
He was a drummer. He played in a band called Iguanas, his name. And he told me he had a pretty good shuffle. He learned from some cats. They would go to Chicago and check out blues acts, go across Michigan. And yeah, the Stooges were being around then. You understand, you know, I'm 10 years younger than Iggy. So their experiences are much different than mine. They are very heavy with 60s. One time Iggy told me a lot about Stooges is 5 years before we started this band and 5 years after. So it's a period where I was just a boy, you know, I'm not really aware. I only knew of some stadium rock stuff, you know, arena rock. And so I learned a lot by being around them. They have incredible music knowledge. So when you hear Stooges, you're actually hearing a lot of different bands. I think that's one reason why their music isn't sounding all dated like maybe a Grand Funk record from the same period is. Because they were listening to lots of different things. Great stuff. Here, let's listen to music.
Do you like eggs?
Yeah. It's time.
Do you like eggs, Mr. Cameraman?
Yeah.
Do you like eggs? They all float down here, Eggy. They all float.
Exactly.
This is the last song. This is the exhale. This is it, guys. Thanks for coming down. Chester B. Arthur right there. Paulington Powers. Blaise Lanzetta. Doobie Wasser. Rhubarb.
Yeah. que está dentro de tu iPhone. Y he sido bailar de la vecindad, porque esto es rock, el rock que ya está muerto. En el fin ya lo dijeron los expertos, porque es el rock que a ti te late. No es nada raro que a tu abuela le disguste.
¿Cómo? No entendí bien eso de
Estamos cansados de la duda, que si te gusta o no te gusta más, que si está dentro de tu iPhone, que si lo bailan en la vecindad, porque estos dos, el rock ya está muerto, en el fin ya lo dijeron los expertos, porque estos dos, el rock a ti te nutre.
From Pedro Show, that was Estos Rock by Pura Vida, and before that we had Systematic Shutdown by Jesus Chrysler, and we started off with Egg Salad by Clown Vomit. You were saying, Jose?
Yeah. What were we talking about? Sorry.
Influences.
Yeah, well, I mean, you tell us more than, I mean, the Minutemen.
Okay. Yeah. Minutemen was a combination of a lot of experiences. But Deep Moon had a, you know, from Roy, he had a big impact of flamenco music. And he wrote, during those times, those 80s times, there was heavy stuff with Central America. So he wrote a lot of subject matter. Like songs like The Big Stick. He was very influenced by that. But we wrote a lot of songs about home, too. I think it's a complicated thing. I would like to play Mexico more. I've only played there 3 times, and I haven't played any of the rest of Central America.
Only Mexico. Yeah. What about Argentina, you say?
Well, that ain't Central America.
Well, yeah, well, south.
It's in the south, right?
Yeah.
And you got a song, right? From Argentina?
Yeah, we played before. It was the Los Peyotes band we were talking
right,
about.
Right.
This band is still like
right.
That.
So I've played Argentina and Brazil, but only the big towns. My real dream is to do a authentic American tour, which means play North, South, and Central America, and not just fly into the big towns, but in my boat, in my van, drive down to town.
Wow.
And hopefully one day I get to do that. It's a big
you
dream.
You should do that, yeah.
Big sueño. One day I attempt it. Right now some troubles in some land, so I have to wait and cool out a little bit. But Mexico has got thriving rock scene.
And there's a version of it in the U.S. called Rock en Español, kind of. And they sing Spanish. But I'm interested in the Indian influences. Because, you know, before Spain came, no stringed instruments. All their music was pipes and drums. Yeah, flutes and drums. And you'll see people, street musicians, do this stuff. Like if you go to Amsterdam, in the lightest plane, you know, they'll have indigenous, what do they call it, musics, and they're playing this. And I'm wondering about when this, nowadays you'll hear some of it in what they call New Age music. They bring in the pipes and stuff like this. But, oh, you know, yeah, because you play flute on the thing. And flute's in their land, too, big time. Yeah, when did you learn that?
In the school.
When, but a while ago.
Yeah, when I was like, start from six.
Young. Wow. Yeah. It's interesting, the sounds that go with that. Because our music, you know, when I think of flute with rock, I think of Jethro Tull, you know, or something, which is, you know, I don't know. It is what it is, but. Yours is an earthy sound, and I think Latin America, they could bring this in too. It's trippy music. But then Spain also has 500 years of being there, so the guitar has been a long time there, and so they've got their own way of playing it too. It's interesting.
You get Mexico bands playing the USA often.
Yeah, we get some. They have their own rap too.
In Spanish.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm telling you, a lot of music now is not about copying as much. It's about developing their own trip. Of course, things are influenced, but it's no longer just Xerox machine. You know, even with MTV and all that. Still, people want to make their own musics. I'm curious, here in London, what are the bands you like now? Because I don't know what's going on.
Well, I mean, there's thousands of bands here, like.
Yeah, but ones you like.
I like one that's called Comanche, which is a duo, and it's a Japanese girl and British guy, and they made sort of like wild.
Comanche?
Comanche, like neither Comanche, that's where they get the name from, you know, the athletic that score a 10. You know, in the, I think it was the Olympics, this girl that did, you know, when they thing that they dance and they threw this, how you call it, this circle, acrobatics, is like.
Oh, okay. You it's know, named the, after a person.
Yeah, Nadia Comăneci.
Oh, Nadia Comăneci, she's a gymnast from Romania.
Yeah, that girl.
From a while ago.
Yeah, a while ago, and she scored like 10, like maximum.
Yeah.
Scoring, well, the band, it's named after her.
Okay.
And they made like a sort of punk, while a lot of fast and a lot of distortion.
Have they been around?
They've been around probably about 3-4 years, I would say.
Who's new?
Who's
that
new?
That you like?
I saw, well, it's not from here actually. I saw this band from Oslo, which called Now With Code Members, and Kaori brought me to this squat. It's like a house, and it's this the people live there, and they also use it as an art space. So the living room isn't, because it's a warehouse, there's plenty of room, and also they have their own studio, but the bands play on the living room, and you can see the dishes, and you can see that they use it for the living room because it's big enough. The show, you know, we're actually watching the show, and then the people was coming out from the window because they couldn't get through the door.
You got any of their music?
Sorry?
Do you have any of their music?
I'm not sure. Kaori might have, I think they have probably MySpace or something. It's called Now We've Got Members, and it's weird because they're from Oslo, North Europe, and they're playing folk.
Norwegians.
Yeah. Folk, but it sounds like Arabian, a bit like Turkish or something like that, and they have this instrument, I don't know what you call it, but it's like this guitar with a bit like a triangular shape a bit, and but it's electric, it was plugged into the mains, and the soloing skill was amazing, and you had the drama was hitting really hard, and there was like many members, about 6 or 7 people. Not, I think that's why they call, now we've got members.
This is a lot of members.
Yeah, and they were incredible, absolutely.
I gotta check them out then.
Mind blowing, and especially you see this guy from Oslo, like all blonde and stuff. They're playing this sort of Arabic influenced music. It's a bizarre thing. But
see, that's power music. That's my point. You know, sometimes it's to transcend the reality. I know people say keep it real, but I think that's more about the passion and the emotion, because. I don't know. Every listener's in charge. That's what I think. Born on the Bayou is a pretty good song. And John Fogerty was, was very Northwest Bayou. Like Berkeley is also real. I'll
tell you which band I like. It's not a new band, but I like them a lot. It's Deerhoof.
Oh, yeah. I got to see them about 3 months ago. Incredible band. They live in San Francisco.
Yeah, and... Well, they came recently because they got a new record out called Friend Opportunity, which I would suggest anyone to listen to because it's really good. And they did a London show, which was amazing. It's Satomi, which is the singer and the bassist, and Greg, the drummer.
Yeah.
The three of them, it was like organized chaos. John, the guitarist, yeah. And all of them, I mean, Greg and John, they had an amazing technique. It's, you can tell that they're really talented musicians, but Satomi, which is the vocal and sort of the leading thing of the song, she gives the melody with her sort of mellow sweet voice, and then you have this noise going on in the background, and then especially the tempo, you know, it looks like everything's gonna fall apart any second, and then they're gonna like suddenly miss the tempo or something, but they came back just in time before the whole thing is gonna collapse, and it's like this tension they create online, which is, you know, it's
drum is amazing too. Greg only plays like a snare and kick drum.
Yeah, that's correct.
A cymbal and a hi hat. It's it.
And
it's
still,
all
he manages
sound is
so
going all out. He is amazing.
And also another band I like. It was recent. I saw the Melvins, that they go together with Big Business. And again, if somebody has any chance to see the show, you should go and watch it, because it's amazing. It's the two drummers totally going synchronized, but playing different things. It's like they share a drum in a way. It's like, it's not like just two parallel drums. It's more like a unified drum kit, like a big one. So he will be playing some things, and the drummer from Big Business will be playing other things.
Yeah.
And it was pretty incredible show.
Yeah. I think Big Business is touring by themselves right now. They moved down to join the Melvins. I think they were from Seattle or something. Came down to our parts. Well, let's play some music. Thank you.
gravity between the lines. Broke ships just above and below the stars.
Thank you.
For Pedro show, let's see. We started that out with Parallel Worlds. Worlds is plural there, Jose. By Steve Mensch. You forgot the N in his name. The Mota, huh? M-E-N-S-H. I can't read that later, brother. Okay, and then we had. The Liars with Plaster Casts of Everything. That's not The Liars with a Y. That's the newer Liars. Great band. I've gotten to play with them a couple times. And then we had a Finnish band called This Is Sirius. Sirius the Dog Star. Not the
word.
Adjective.
Yeah.
Right.
Are you serious about that?
Right. But maybe they are the Dog Star. I think that's where Pharaoh was supposed to go after that. With Burritos Coqueños.
Cocaínos.
Oh, yeah, Cocaínos. Sorry. Bad pronunciation. Stupid what?
That's all right as well.
Okay, and then Untitled 119 by Ben. And finally, we had a song you picked, Jose.
Yeah, this song is called, it's Japanese. It's called Tsunaki, and the reason it struck me is because one of my Japanese friend, he was collecting tracks from the 60s as well, and among those tracks, this one was really outstanding. It was like obscure freak beat, and then I started to investigate more in the track, and it happens that it was made for a commercial of sausages in Japan in the 60s or something, I think 1968, and I found it a bit strange that the song is really obscure for me and to be used in a commercial, but somehow,
well, snacky me was a snack.
Yeah, probably that's where it came from. And then there was this sausage. The song is by a guy called Hajime Kaido, and yeah, pretty freak beat from Japan from 1968.
Wow. When did you get started with music?
Well, when I was probably about, well, I started playing the Spanish guitar that my uncle had. Actually, I was a bit lucky because when my parents dropped me by my grandma's, my uncle has his record collection over there, and I was like 11 years old, and then I got bored, so I dig out the vinyls, and then among those vinyls were Dead Kennedys and things like that. So I just totally like, wow, this sounds different. This is not what they play on the radio. And that's how I came across punk music without even knowing what punk was. And then I just grabbed the guitar, Spanish guitar, and then when you go to high school and meet people like you did with the Boom, I put band together, and then the 90s came in, and we played some sort of influence by the whole Seattle thing, and so I had a rock band called Again. And later on, I started to get into electronics, and with my friend called a guy called Joan, and then we did some of the tracks. You play in the podcast one of our tracks, which was our RTM3.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. That song that
a couple
was,
of weeks ago.
Yeah, it was. You're supposed to be blindfolded and stuff.
Oh yeah, you asked if people actually did that. I think I played it from Switzerland. And Steve McKay gave the instructions,
yeah,
on what you should do to experience the tune right. And then when I told you that, you asked me, do you think people
really
did that?
Yeah, I want
to
thank you and your brother from here for being kind to play our track. And that track also, when it was done as a art project, so I wanted no visual distractions to interrupt the experience. That's why the suggestion was that you get blindfolded, and then you know, it's the only sense that is at work is your ears, and if you use a headphone, you totally stuck into it. You can't escape, like, you can't see anything.
You're
and
immersed.
Then, yeah. And then there was the story about that, you know, I saw after
dead man.
Yeah. Like this nightmare, this guy drone with microphones inside, and then somebody recording his death.
Right. And you got a future project?
Yeah, I play with a Japanese girl called Kyoko, and we're trying to put some stuff together. I don't know. We'll take it as it goes, but hopefully something good will come out, and then we'll be back playing in London or maybe somewhere else. We did have a band before called Tsipex, which is the nickname I use, and we play a few London shows, and it was more sort of like punk rock, not totally punk rock, but like indie sort of rock style, and then we just disbanded, so we have to get it back together.
Okay, because you were saying you were going to mix some kind of sounds with other sounds, breathing or something.
Yeah, well, I got a few solo projects, like working with sound, just as a not just as music, but also as a kind of art. Like, I've seen many artists that work with sound and quite inspirational. There was this exhibition in near where you play, actually, in the Royal Albert Hall behind, Royal Festival Hall behind this Harwick Gallery, and they did this exhibition only with sound pieces. And from, I don't know if you know a band called Pansonic?
No.
Them from, I think they're from Helsinki, and this is a duo, and they do the work with Noise a lot. They used to be called Panasonic, but because when the company found out, they
no go.
Yeah, they asked them to withdraw.
Cease
and, then,
and desist.
You know what they did? After that happened, they called themselves Panasonic, and the album they released was called A, so they dropped the A.
Clever. A way around the corporate.
Yeah.
You were asking me earlier about how we should fight back.
Fight the corporate, yeah.
And not always with guns.
No, you can use...
Sometimes with ideas.
Yeah, ideas work best, definitely. It's big ideas behind the revolutions that make them happen.
Okay,
it?
Yeah. And artists and artistic means to subvert certain controls.
Yeah, to subvert the system, to attack it from the inside.
Okay. Viva Panasonic.
Terrorist of sound. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's hear some more music.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
we started that off with Gary Floyd, a song called Dallas. Gary Floyd, one of my favorite singers to come out of the punk scene, and just a beautiful musician in person. Dream About Love after that with PNDC. And then, Oh, You Want Bass by Wastrel. And that'll do it for the second hour of the June 19th, 2007 Watt from Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour three. June 19th, 2007. It's third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. And Jose, if you met Iggy, what would you say?
Yeah, I was just saying that if I ever get to meet Iggy Pop, what I would tell him is that I was thinking one day that some aliens came to the Earth, and then I just came across to them, and then they say, okay, you have to send one person to represent the planet Earth into our planet, so we're going to take one back. And I thought, who would I choose to represent the human being race? And I thought, it has to be Iggy Pop.
Egg, you're the man.
You are the man that has to represent human beings if ever we have to send somebody into another planet. At 60, the age, and still stage diving like a teenager and going 200% for it in the show.
Yeah, I just love the way he plays the gig like it might be the last one.
Fucking hell,
you know, it's just kamikaze.
And Stooges, and life is the most amazing life I've ever seen, dude. Because
yeah, Scotty, you know, if you ask the drummer,
yeah,
Scott Ashton.
You said that he didn't even have a drum kit, right?
He always gives Jay Maskus credit.
And always, you, so you guys all go together, and for people like my age.
Oh, yeah, you saw.
Yeah,
you should talk to people about that, because a lot of people, there were some Europe gigs, but in the U.S., only the Altamars parties at UCLA. I sent you a song of Thurston.
Thurston.
Maybe we can play that.
Yeah, yeah, you should play
Real
that.
Real Cool Time.
Real Cool Time, sung by Thurston Moore.
Right.
Brilliant.
But you saw a gig at the Town and Country.
Yeah, that was like 8 years ago.
Or the Mean Fiddler.
It was the Mean Fiddler, which is a small venue near the Astoria. And the show was called Ashton Watt Maskus.
Maskus Watt. Alphabetical.
Maskus. Okay, all right. And you know, we went there, and you were singing.
Yeah, you know Iggy.
You know Iggy Pop. I mean, I was hoping, like, would Iggy Pop show up suddenly, like surprise in the encore or something? But
well, those days we had no idea that he wanted to do it. Yeah.
But that show, I mean, Maskus, you know, he's probably one of the most amazing guitar players. And I heard a guy in the toilet saying, "What the fuck was that?" It was just like Stooges with Maskus, and then I said, "Hold on, man! Did you see the ticket? You know, did the ticket say the Stooges? It didn't. The ticket say Ashton Maskus Watt, and that's exactly what you got. So, where's
the
complaint?"
What was the guy doing in the toilet?
Well, he was just having a leak, and
standing in it.
Yeah, we were just having a leak, and you know, I was right next to him, and then he went all pissed off because he went there to see the Stooges or something like that, and then he Maskus soloing, you know, it's quite prominent, so of course his volume is amazing on stage, as you know,
especially that gig. Oh man, he was wailing on it, and Ronnie and Scotty. But yeah, getting to play with them was amazing for me, and I know for Jay too. It's incredible. So, I mean, much respect to Ig, but the Ashton brothers. Well, and I love Steve McKay, too. Beautiful man. I like playing with those cats a lot.
People of my generation, we want to thank you for getting the ball rolling and getting the Stooges back, because I never thought I would have a chance to see the Stooges. I wasn't even born when the Stooges were doing the first shows. So for our generation to have the chance to see the Stooges, and also in the best form, because bloody hell, man, the shows are punchy.
They're punchy.
So it's a wonderful opportunity, and so thanks a lot, Mike, for bringing them back.
Very welcome. Okay, let's just hear more tunage.
eyes and eyes, nostrils and eyes. Not an eyelash, but a prick will make no eye at all. Is there any? No, there's none, there's none. Oh, no, there's none. No, nothing. Is there any rank, dimpled, drooping, warm breast? So tender to touch, there is one. Yes, I have one. Spare. Somewhere, elsewhere, where? Early now. Ah, my dear. Ah. Ooh, smudge, crust, smell, tasty lust. Ah.
That was, that last one there was Nostrils and Eyes by Position Normal. Don't call it looting. He's supposed to be Don't Call It Looting by Dorothy Hates Advertising. You should write that. Don't call it looting. You know, like when you loot. Don't call it.
Call it.
And then we had Mullion by Schooner before that. We started off with Real Cool Time. Ashton, Maskus, and Watt playing at UCLA in 2002.
With Thurston on vocals.
Yeah.
As a guest.
Thurston singing, yeah, as a guest. When's the first time you saw Sonic Youth?
About more than 10 years ago. I think it was 1995 or 96.
How'd you find out about them? Were they on that tape?
Yeah. Yeah, Sonic Youth was in that tape.
But you didn't think they were fake and made up.
No, all that tape sounded really cool. It was just never mind something so
polished.
Seeing
the post, oh, the song itself.
Sorry?
And the posters.
The whole thing, because the you know how the big corporates, they marketing like very aggressively, and so it was like on TV and the whole city covering posters. So I was like, well, fuck this shit, you know. I was 16 and I was hanging in squats, and I was seeing all the time punk bands that they were into animal liberation. They were like, you know, vegans and anarchism. So that was the music I was into it from Spain, and then this tape I had from abroad, which had Mad Honey, Pussy Galore, and Bad Hole Surfer. So a 16-year-old, you know, you suddenly see this Nirvana band that can, their records are in all the main commercial stores, and so you're like, fuck them, you know, I'm not going to see them. Just to find out some year later that they were actually coming from the same roots as all those bands that I listened to it. I think I was cursed, you know.
No, you just didn't know. You couldn't know.
Yeah, ignorant.
And I think it's kind of maybe healthy to be a little suspicious about things that are marketed pretty
well. That was pretty obvious that something was wrong, you know. Like, you see all the suddenly they're trying like forcing you to listen, you know, like.
Well, that, like the music industry had come up with a concept of alternative, and
to make money out of it.
Yeah, and probably they saw this band as something to be part of that, right?
Yeah. So, well, I'm sorry, but, well, I missed them, and maybe someday in heaven.
You couldn't have known, you know.
But Sonic Youth, yeah, the first time I saw them was in a festival called Sparrago Rock in Granada, in South Spain. You know, like asparagus.
Sure.
A vegetable. And they were a headliner, and I had fever, like flu and 40 degrees of fever. I was like tripping on my own. And then they came on, and they decided not to play any single. So they play all stuff from the first record, Confusion is Sex, from Evil, from Sister, from Dating Nation. And half of the people wanted to hear, like, Bullet in the Heather and 100%, and they play none of those tracks. So the other half, like my half, were totally opening our mouths, because the first time this is in Youth, and it was mind blowing. But the other half, the ones that wanted to hear the single, they were so pissed off that after half an hour they started to throw bottles, plastic bottles,
no.
I guess. And then the song, you were into feedback mode. I love when they do that. Okay, now it's feedback time, and then we go like 20-30 minutes of pure feedback. The guitars are on the floor, and they're like swinging them, and it was going on and on. So the promoters turned the lights on, because like they wouldn't finish, they wouldn't just leave the stage. So they turned the lights on the venue and almost unplugged it. And then Thurston was like, Oh, okay. Well, and then he lights a cigarette, and then the roadies take the stuff, and then he's on the stage chatting to someone. It was so anti-rock star, you know, so natural. So the first time was pretty impressive, really.
Yeah, I remember the first time I saw him, I was tripped out. You know, I thought we were doing some things kind of forward, ahead. And then I saw these guys playing. And I thought, man, me and Dee Boone are just doing Chuck Berry compared to these guys. You know, old rock and roll or something. Yeah, yeah. They, you know, with the screwdrivers and the guitar, all the, I mean, I couldn't believe it. I was watching that, and I was like, wow, what the fuck are we doing? Yeah, it was intense. He knew all about us, so he even wrote me at a record label. I think I wrote him back, Keep Toiling.
Thurston say he sent you like to
he's, I think he's 6 months younger or something, my age. Yeah, maybe a year younger, but he's around my age, and he has incredible knowledge of music, about 1,000 times more than me. So, but I was pretty, and the first thing I talked to him about was Richard Hell. He knew, he had saw the Voinoids
100 times. He had seen it. He said you were eating squid, right?
And yeah, I like squid.
Yeah, and then you said to him, you've seen Richard Hell 100 times?
Yeah, because it blew my... And he never played, he didn't play there in those days. I didn't know. Man, all I knew was the records. He's tripped it. But there's pictures, I could see what he looked like. First time I met him was in 83, February. We were playing with Black Flag in Osnabrück, Germany, and Richard Hell played. And I remember he came up to me and goes, hi, Mr. Minuteman. I was like, huh? I couldn't say a word. I just dug the hell out of him. I was telling you earlier, he was my first punk rock hero. Punk rock really wasn't a sound for me. Like when you say a punk band, it's to me like it's hard. Yeah, it's hard for me because the punk scene I came from, it could be anything. You didn't know what... You'd go to the gig and you just have to watch to see what this band was going to be like. It wasn't really that predictable.
Exciting.
Yeah, it was pretty, especially from the Square John shit I was coming from, man. I didn't know what any of it was up.
How did you get involved with Chicone Youth doing that cover?
Oh, Chicone Youth, yeah.
Chicone
Youth was really important. Because Dee Boone was killed in a car wreck, right? A van wreck. And I really didn't think people wanted to hear me play without him. So I stopped playing. Mm. And I drove, Akira had to do some internship at Yale in Connecticut. So I drove all the way out to Cali, from Cali to Connecticut. And on the way back, I stopped in New York City. And they were, Sonic Youth was recording Evil. And they had me record in the studio. I think the song is called In the Kingdom, something, something.
Yes, I'm sorry.
And then something that came on a B-side, a single called Bubblegum, a Kim Fowley song. And I got to play Kim's bass and I didn't really get to play with Thurston and Lee. I got to play with Steve, but they just had me jamming, you know, first to the record for Bubblegum, and then just jamming along with Steve for what was to become In the Kingdom. And then they assembled it and they played on it. They had an interesting way. Even the studio was trip. It was like, you know, the mixing board was in the same room you recorded in, not separate. That was a trip for me.
Yeah.
But then I was really excited by the experience. Like, wow, they want to play with me. So maybe people want me to play.
Of course.
So I asked, yeah, but I'm telling you, it was a bad time for me.
I cannot be hopeful for you. When this song that you
made,
Burn It Up, I mean, how...
Yeah, well, this is what happened, because they were so... showing me the niceness. I said, man, why don't we make a record together? Why don't we make a song? Because one thing that struck me was when I saw them that they liked Madonna. Kira liked Madonna. That's how I knew about her. I never heard of her. And so I thought that was trippy. So maybe that's something like we could have a common ground. So I'll do a Madonna song, and you guys do a Madonna song, and that Thurston named it. He called it Chicone Youth. The Whitey album was something way different. It had nothing to do with that. But this single, in fact, you showed me you got the England one, the 12-inch.
Yeah, 12-inch. Yeah.
That came out on Blast First, I think. Paul Smith's label. Yeah. And after that, I really got my nerve up more. And then Ed from Ohio came to my house. He found my number in the phone book. I didn't know you had to pay to be enlisted. So I'm on over and, okay, I'll do them. So I owe him a lot, Thurston. And all four of them.
Did you
Steve,
ever,
Kim, and Lee.
Madonna ever say something or this? Madonna must be aware of that record. I mean, she must have heard it.
Well, I don't know. I made a band after Firehose because I wanted to keep practicing. I never meant to do any gigs, you know. It was called the Madonna Bees. And somebody told me she came and saw... I would play in a mouse suit. It was ridiculous. I mean, I never wanted to do gigs. And then I started helping Perry, and Perry had dancers. Well, I don't know how I met any people in this band, really.
Perry Farrell.
No, in Madonna Bees. Two of them ended up being my missing men. Pete Mazich and Jerry Trepetich. Beautiful man, longshoreman, who play really good organ and drums. But I didn't know him at the time, you know. I think Pete was in a wedding band, and Jared played with him. You know, Italian and Slav weddings. And Glenda was a singer, and then somehow there was two girls like from high school dancing, but they danced in the hall. I never saw them. I was in the practice pad. But then I thought after a while, man, well, Perry's got dancers, and maybe we should do a gig. So we started doing gigs. And I know the dancers really dug Madonna. That's why they did it. And I think Pete, look, I don't know if Jerry liked Madonna so much. I think he just wanted to play with us. That was a trippy band.
Yeah, the record cover is brilliant. I mean, like, Madonna...
No, Madonna Bees never made a record. Never recorded. I think we did something in the studio, but it never got released. Oh, but the Chicone Youth, yeah, Kim made that.
She made the front cover of
Yeah.
It's pretty good. I like it a lot.
Well, she's, you know, she's an artist.
Yeah.
Here's some more music.
Okay, that was, we started that little block off with Seven Travels by Belgrade Noise Society. Some great jams there. I think they just improvised on it. And then we had Carla Bozulich with her band Evangelista. She's on tour right now in Europe. And a song called How to Survive Being Hit by Lightning. That's an interesting way of spelling it. Thank you. And then we did two songs you picked.
Yes. The first one is called Rock Ansura, which comes from my first band I had called Basura, which means rubbish or trash. It's a song that me and my friend, we didn't have an instrument, so but we decided to start a band, even though we didn't have any. And we were in this big place where they play kind of, how do you call it? To hit the ball in the Basque country. Yeah, in the Basque country, and then it had a big resonance, so we were like 16
years old. Like racquetball, paddle-hand ball.
Okay. We were hitting all these barrels and screaming, and then when I go back home and I listen to the tape, I grab the Spanish guitar I had and I play this rock and roll riff and that's how the first song we of my first band came out. And the second track is called Ya Es Tarde from a Spanish band called Sex Museum, which also play a Garrett style, and it's the only track they got in Spanish, but nice one.
They're from 60s too?
No, they're current. They're from the early 80s. That was recorded in 1987.
Are they still playing around?
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
great.
Quite amazing live, actually.
What town?
They're from Madrid.
Madrid?
Yeah.
Wow.
They're a pretty good band. Very strong life.
I know when it was music scene was first getting started in Spain, because a long time you couldn't tour there, you know. And well, the first town was Madrid. That was the big music town. But it's changed. It's not like that anymore.
No.
There's music scenes all over
everywhere,
Spain.
Yeah. Yeah. Madrid, Barcelona would be probably the first town you would play.
In fact, the guy who puts on my gigs, Unai, a bass man, he lived in Madrid for a while because that's where the music thing was happening. But now, so it's all over. No problem. But, you know, Spain had to catch up, like you were saying, you know, if it could have been the 30s. So, if you ask me, it's amazing, amazing, just a short period of time.
Yeah, they caught up quite quick, and many, many good bands came up.
Yeah, I mean, we played a lot of garage in some 60s, but there's a lot of current stuff, a lot of bands.
Yeah, I'll send you
some. I played with
some.
Yeah, please. Because I played with them when I toured in the country. I know in La Roca, right outside Barcelona, they've got a little scene there they call Karate Punk. And these cats got their own bands. It's a great thing. Daniello there and Uri and some cats making it happen. They had to get a new pad. They had to fight the government a little bit, but made a deal and accommodated everybody. Because people got to have music, you know? And it isn't always the stuff that comes down the food chain from upstairs. Sometimes, well, I think in almost lots, it's got to come from folks, from pueblos.
From pueblos.
In the corazones of pueblos. Big time. So, it's only natural, I think, grassroots scenes grow up, spring up, and then let their freak flag fly. And I can't wait to play Valencia.
We look forward to
do a show there, huh?
Well, Studios in Valencia is going to be amazing.
Yeah. No, but we do a Watt from Pedro show.
Yeah.
With the chow, special chow.
Yeah, we'll try to cook for Mike Watt one paella, which is the typical dish from Valencia.
Yeah, I can't wait. Bali, Bali.
Bali. Right,
you hear that a lot over there.
Yeah.
That means okay. We're getting, I hear what you're saying. And it's the end of this June 19th, 2007, Watt from Pete.
Bye, Sifu. Okay, it's recording.
Yeah, we're almost at the end, pretty near the end.
Bye. Thank you. Arigato.
Okay. Keep your powder dry.